Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to the Dr. Cupertino Show. Hi there, we're here, and I want to welcome you. We had a little pop last week, and I tell you what, God did it. He solved it all. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so happy to have you with us today in our show. Take your rightful stand among the winners in the game of life. You're a winner. Things might not look like, hey, they're leading you to believe that. Circumstances might not show that you're a winner. People might have said, you know, you're a loser, you're never going to be anything in life. But, hey, we're here to tell you, just stand. Stand anyway. Life is truly worth living when purpose and will meet each other. The will moves man to success while purpose guides the way. You are a work of art no matter how your life may have started and what's going on it now. So I'm glad you're here with us today to hear how to make your life a shining example, and it's better to be up above ground than below. We have with us our illustrious Colonel William Harrison. Are you with us today, Colonel Harrison? I see you called in.
Yes, Dr. Cupertino. Good morning. Glad to be back on the show again, and certainly thank you for the invite, and top of the morning to you and your listening audience.
Well, they're waiting, and I'm waiting, and the whole world is waiting to hear how people can really stand among some of the most dreadful circumstances. People have said this past week that they've lost mothers, that they've lost fathers, they've lost children, their wives have walked out on them, their husbands have just disappeared. I mean, things are bad, not only in America, but across the globe. And we're here now to talk about how people can rightfully stand up, no matter what their circumstances. If they're still alive with 2 feet or 2 legs, stand up. Five. They're concerned about relatives and family members. What advice do you normally give them when they feel all hope is gone?
The advice I give, Doc, is that we have to know that we have a purpose in our lives, and although the world may be in chaos, the basis of human life from a spiritual point of view is that we are our brother's keeper. We are one. We have to look out for our elders, widows, orphans, look out for our neighbors, and, of course, look out for ourselves. And I'm just reminded that as a man and a woman think it in their heart, so are they. So we must tap into ourselves or tap into an outer source, an outer power, and know that the world the way it is now wasn't always that way. It wasn't meant to be that way. It wasn't designed that way. And so we have to find like-minded people in our communities, in our workplace, and those who go to church or synagogue or other worship houses. We have to tap into people who are like-minded that can help uplift and encourage us so that we don't feel alone. And when we have problems like a loved one passing, then we'll be able to endure because we have friends that will intercede with us and help comfort us and pray for us and help provide us with assistance. So we're not alone. The world has problems, but we have neighbors.
Yeah, that sounds very good. And I don't know if our people really understand that, because the suicide rate is going up. People are laying on the street. Neighbors are not getting them off the street. So I think we want to narrow this down to the person, because if a person is downtrodden, they feel like life has passed them up, they're not going to step out there and go out there and try and find who they are and tap in. How do you tap in and go out there and see who they can get to hold their hand? I don't think they're going to do that. I think since we're narrowing this down to the person, not the one going out there playing savior, but we're talking about an individuals that do not know, that have experimented and have not found out how to take their rightful stand among winners. What is a winner? So So if we say, okay, well, you know, I'm feeling bad, I'm going to commit suicide, but, oh, well, let me stop, let me go out here and see if I can find another person, let me see if I can tap in. We have to give these people right now, coming out of the bushes, coming out of the woodwork, real solutions, real answers. So if someone is saying, oh, you know what, I live to be 60, 70 years old, you know, I don't think I made the grade, I'm still sad, I'm still scuffling, I don't know what to do. What do you as a minister, and I'm going to stick on this minister thing because there's a lot going on the West Coast about our churches, and I'm going to get into that after I hear from you. But if your people come to you and they're saying, you know, I've been coming here near church, you know, I'm sitting, I still don't have nothing, I still got to call you to get out of hell, and yeah. What can we tell a person that does not seem to have the ability to stand up within themselves and become a winner? It's not going out there trying to beg nobody to help them become a winner, but we're talking about the me, myself, and I. What do I do within myself? I've already tried talking to the neighbors. It ain't working. I've already tried going to law enforcement. It ain't working. I've already tried running to city council to talk for 22 minutes. It isn't working. I've already gone to the hospital and stood up there. Now, nothing has worked. So here, you and I, powerful people that have already took our stand, if they come to us, what message can we tell them for them not to go out to get nothing else that they've already tried? They wouldn't come to you and I. They wouldn't listen to the show if they knew they had to turn around and go out and beg somebody to give them a hug. That's not the question. What can we tell people that need to take a rightful stand within self, self-procurement, self-enhancement, self-abilitize? What can we tell that person that they can do for self and within self? Maybe we should try it again. Come on, Pastor. Let's hear it.
The first thing I would share with them, Doc, is the fact that I know that the church where I am offer help to counseling, offer help to assistance of limited food supply, offer help to assistance, limited clothing supply. What those kinds of things, the basic needs of life is food, a shelter, and self-actualization, feeling good about oneself. So I think when the basic needs are met, if they need food, then we feed them. If they need clothes, then we clothe them. And then after that, we get into evaluating for what further assistance they need, whether they need counseling, whether it's additional resources the church has that they can offer them, depending upon what their need is. Because it's been my experience, people fall into despair because they lose hope. So we have to help give them hope again, reestablish them, their mindset to the fact that there are people that are willing to help them, that love them, who will help assist them to help get them back on their feet.
Well, that sounds good. So what you're saying is that if a person has a sandwich and a roof over his head and some clothes, that he should be able to take a stand among winners in the game of life. Is that what you're saying? So you're saying, I think I hear you saying that, you know, if they come and get some resources, well, first of all, they've got to come out of somewhere to go get those resources. So if a person has not took their rightful stand, is your comment that they need some food and clothes and shelter, and then they'll be able to take a stand? A stand to what? Is that what you're saying? I want you to make it clear.
Not so much a stand, but they'll be able to receive the support that they need that will help encourage them as they move forward, that they'll be able to stand. People perish for the lack of knowledge.
That sounds very good, because if a person has not taken their rightful stand as a human being here on planet Earth,
that really is a problem. It sounds like there's some physiological things that need to go on. It sounds to me that there's some psychological things that needs to happen and go on. It also tells me that there's something going on in that person's life that is causing him to feel helpless, hopeless, and unworthy. So I'm thinking back to the physiological and the almost the psychiatrical a world that we actually do live in. I'm feeling that something there has to happen. You can you have all these millionaires have everything, and they're still hopeless. They are still feeling that, you know, I haven't cut the bread. They are still feeling I haven't buttered the bread. They are still thinking, well, I got everything in the world, but I still don't feel like I'm genuine and authentic. And we hear and see this every day. Millionaires, billionaires now giving up on lives. So I'm not too sure resources is the answer. I'm going to go back to you being a pastor. I know there's a clarion call that go ye therefore. He didn't say this great sage when he was talking to people that are anointed to help others. Everyone's not anointed to help others, but to his flock, the ones that were supposed to go out and be the shining example, to pull men out of the depths of hell, he said, go ye therefore. He didn't say go ye therefore to, hand out some food and clothes and what have you. He said, go ye therefore to do something. And so I'm thinking that if a person feels that, he hasn't been able to take a stand, he needs some kind of emotional and mental teaching. I know you will agree with that, because before he's able to even pick up a sandwich, he's got to be someone in his right mind to do it. So I'm thinking that for a person to be able to take their rightful stand among winners, they've somehow got to be taught. They've got to be in a position of being teachable, meek, of course, and they've got to be able to hear what it is they need to hear. So that takes us back to people such as footmen to the rescue on the ground to help those first emotionally and mentally. They're talking this kind of talk, I don't know if I can go another day. They might have a full belly already, brand new sneakers on their feet. Do you advise them when they come to you that there's more than meat in order to be able to take their rightful stand?
Yes, and there's more than meat.
This is heavy this morning.
Yeah, there's more than meat, Doc. As you previously said, it's physiological and psychological. But what I found that the void is that the person feel helpless or feel despair or feel empty is because the lack of love and the lack of compassion and the lack of feeling worthy. And so that is the void that's psychological that has to be filled. Once we fill the physiological, the food, the shelter, and the clothes, then the psychological void got to be filled. And what used to fill that void, and unfortunately, it's not filling the void to the extent it should now. It used to be the church. People used to be able to come to the community church and not only get the physiological needs that they needed, they could get psychological referral, so they could get spiritual counseling. But now the churches have become somewhat transitional, and some of them are closing down, and the government doesn't have the resources to take care of all the needs of the people. That's why they have the homeless people. So we got to go back to footmen to the rescue to help plug in and assist that which the church was first called to do when you said, go ye therefore.
Yeah, that sounds very good, and I'm on that same page, and this is why that program was invented. In fact, that's why the International Platform for Peace, www.IP4PACE.org, came into play, because we've seen man got everything. They got homes, they got cars, they got money in the bank. They got two, three, four people that claim they love them. They got a family there, but still they feel that it's something missing with inside. I don't know what to do about it. I can't scratch it. I'm feeling an itch, but I can't do anything about it. Something is going on in me, and I can't explain it. I don't know what to do. So this is why this show, in just the minuscule time that we have, to share with people how to take their stand. First of all, number one, like our illustrious, and I keep calling him that because he's all that and more, Dr. William Harrison stated, there's got to become, number one, a realization that something is wrong and not right. There's got to be, number two, well, then a thought pattern of what do I do? I don't know where to go. I've been everywhere. I've talked to the lie, talked to the cheat. I've talked to the worst of humankind and the best. Still, I'm wanting inside. I don't know what to do with who I am or who I want to be. Others are going about in life pretending and showing up some as winners. What about me? There's first got to be, number one, a realization that it's me, it's me, it's me, standing in the need of what? You know, prayer. Some are saying to pray is peace. Some are saying to pray is to connect with an unknown source. Some are saying prayer is a way of reaching out to a God. I may know his name, I may not. So I think that for our listening audience, the first thing we need to do to take our stand is to realize that I can't stand without this powerful force moving through me, directing me, and channeling through me, and, of course, giving me some form of direction. I don't know who it is. I don't know what it is. It might be called God, a supreme being, a creator of the universe, whatever. But I think where we're coming from is that first things first. No one's going to be able to take their rightful stand among winners unless they recognize that the greatest winner is who? The creator within. So to take a rightful stand, that realization has to have some meat put on it, and then, hey, okay, I am somebody. What do I do in my somebodyness? And then there's a clarion call for them to reach out to organizations that are doing exactly what we are doing, and that's proclaiming peace where there's no peace. There's proclaiming peace where there's nothing but chaos. It's proclaiming a peace where the whole world don't want it. They're saying, F that. I don't need that. I got women, money. I got everything I need. Don't come at me with that. But that's exactly where it is. So no one is going to be able to take their rightful stand until they what? Recognize their creator within. Recognize I had to have come from somewhere. Where did I come from? And not just because she laid down and, after 9 months, here I poked my head out. There's got to be more than that. So to take the rightful stand means to stand for the creator as to who we know he is and who his word says he is. So what are some of the ways that a person, a Colonel Harrison, can actually come out and say, I'm going to stand, and I'm going to stand because of. Let's name a few points why anyone would want to stand in a world such as ours today.
Number one, there's a need to stand, because if we don't stand, we will perish. It doesn't matter who we are, what money we have or lack of money or resources we may not have. Because we are three-dimensional beings. We are spirit, soul, and flesh. So once we tap into that inner being, that inner spirit, that will help encourage us to be able to stand and feel worthy and help build the self-esteem, because we have to tap into that inner spirit. I think, number one, that will help lift our countenance, help lift us from despair, help lift us from the pits of hell, so that we will feel better about ourselves and we'll be able to stand. Once we stand, then we can help others stand. So number one, I think we ought to be able to tap into that inner spirit within our being.
Right, right, right. And you know what? I agree fully with you, because I'm going to slam back to a number two reason. Number two reason is because, hey, we've got to admit it, whether we want to or not, that everyone was created for a purpose. Some say, you know, if you watch these killer shows on TV, that, you know, their purpose is to get some vengeance against someone, or their purpose in life is to avenge daddy's death. Some might say, my purpose is to kill the woman that tried to kill my kids, and all it goes on and on and on. But number two, we've got to find, and I won't say within ourselves, but we've got to find the time to approach this creator in prayer and ask him. James says, if you have not, you haven't asked anything. So I'm thinking that we've got to soulfully and dutifully get on our knees and ask the Creator, what about me? What about where I'm supposed to be at in life right now? I've lived 30, 40, 50 years, and I still feel unfulfilled. I don't feel I've made it in anything, anywhere. What is it that I need to do now? I've made so many mistakes in life. What do I do now? So I think this thing called purpose, once they stood, ask the Creator, what is the purpose? Why am I here? And I swear, I know he would not, well, I don't say swear, but then I know he will answer one way or the other. What am I doing here? I listened to him. I listened to her. I've heard from him. I'm talking to you right now. What is my purpose? That's what I think number two is. What about a third reason, Colonel Harrison?
The third reason, Doc, would be cause. Once we tap into the Creator, the inner spirit, that will lead us to our purpose, and we find out what our purpose is, then we'll know what our cause is in life. Once we have our cause, then that cause it commands us to go ye forth, not only to help ourselves, but help our relatives, help our neighbors, help strangers, help our coworkers, help anyone that we come into that has need. That gives us a sense of worth and a sense of well-being because we're community, we're communicative beings, but we're community beings, and we are meant to live together and to help one another. That's there's a saying that seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open, ask and it shall be given unto you. And so we got to use those principles that will lead us from identifying the Creator within to next to find out what our purpose is, and thirdly find out what our cause is, and that will give us our goal, will give us our marching orders, will give us our self-worth. And again, that's where the International Platform for Peace, Footman to the Rescue, all of those will come in to help those who are willing to get aboard.
Well, that sounds fantastic. You know, I think that asking them to find their purpose, they need to seek the Creator for that. Because obviously, if they don't think that, you know, their life is worth living, they've probably already gone that route. And when you say tap into, let's kind of reiterate on that. How would a person tap into themselves? You said they need to tap into themselves. And what do you mean by tapping into? How does a person tap into themselves to find out who they really are?
Some people do it through meditation. Some people do it through prayer. And basically, when I say tap into yourself, it's inner examination of oneself. Introspection is a psychological word, sociological word, introspection, which means self-examination. Each of us has to examine ourselves and find out what it is and who it is, and if there is a Creator, if there is an inner spirit, then one should seek to find that source that really is the essence of their being, and they'll be able to move forward. So through meditation, through prayer, and those kinds of ways.
Okay, well, we're going to have a complete session on meditation because, you know, some say meditation is tapping into Satan. Some say meditation is a part of yoga. Some say meditation is practicing a Chinese religion. So I think, audience out there, hey, I think we're going to have one whole session for a show on meditation because some are really running to that, and it has its roots, meditation in Eastern religion. However, in the scripture, it says that those that really want to come to know God in a stronger, mightier way, that, you know, they meditate day and night. So I think we need to really concentrate on explaining that deeper, but it's tapping into oneself. So you're saying if a person taps into himself, what he's doing is tap into, he's going to pray
I want you to explain that more because I want to get understanding. When you say tap into, that means going within. I know that. So if a person is feeling that he's not a winner, if he go in and he tap himself, what is he going to do again? Explain that again. How would a person tap into themselves? What does that mean?
Okay, Doc, let me try to make it plain. When I said tap into themselves, and you mentioned meditation and prayer, but I'm talking about self-examination, and the self-examination, the self-examination is identifying the strength that I have as a person based on my knowledge, based on my skills, the strength that I have, and the weaknesses that I have. So and hope that my strength outweigh my weaknesses. Most people, weaknesses overwhelm them. Their strengths encourage them. So they have to find out what the weaknesses are and strengthen the weaknesses that they have within themselves as a being, whether it's educational, whether it's a skill set, whether it's communication, whatever it is. That's what I mean about tapping into oneself.
Okay, that sounds like a lot of work, and I think we need to have another discourse on that, tapping into oneself for the powerful living. We could do something like that, and I'm sure our listening audience would understand that because they're in the colleges and the universities, there's in the schools of higher learning, there's seminaries, and the world has gotten worse. So obviously, whatever's being taught out there, whatever's being said, whatever's being called into the human mind, it is not working. Whatever they've gotten as tips and so-called superior learning, it has not worked. Things have gotten worse. They're worse now than they've ever been in the history of man all over the universe, not just in America itself. So I think you and I are onto something, and I think if we can make plain, my daddy used to say when a minister was in the pulpit and he was just going on and on and on, my daddy used to hold his cane up and say, make it plain, make it plain, make it plain. And the audience, some of them would chuckle because they knew the man up there had gotten lost, and Bishop Mims was trying to bring him back to the spiritual sanity. So I think that we're onto something here. So these additional two topics, especially the one tapping within, people should, if they're ever going to do it, they need to do it right now. Colonel Harrison, you've written a book, and it's a book of just great ideas for people wanting to stop chaos, not only in their personal world, not only in their personal life, not only in their personal family, but all around themselves. Now, your book, it's a best-selling book. Anyone that has had their hands on it has loved it. Now, I understand your book, A Solution for Chaos, is on Amazon.com. Are you going to be present in the month of July to have your book signing here on the West Coast? What's happening with that? And we've got 90 seconds to say something.
It is my intent, Doc. The scheduling is being worked on by my diplomatic counselor of the International Platform for Peace.
Okay.
Have several appearances on the East Coast and trying to arrange the schedule so that it's possible that I can make that West Coast tour. I'll let you know more about it once I consult with my diplomatic counselor and she informs me of my upcoming schedule. But certainly the book is one that will bless everybody from all walks of life.
Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. You know we love you dearly here on the West Coast. You've been listening to Dr. Marcia Cappuccino and Colonel William Harrison, and we want you to know that we love you, we care about you, and we look to hear from you in spirit, if not by word. Next Saturday, same time, same show, Dr. Cappuccino. Thank you again, Colonel, Dr. Reverend William Harrison. Everyone, have a great weekend.